For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 206 of MSRcast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek.
And I'm Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How you doing, sir?
Very good.
Good. We have an interesting show tonight. We're trying to, I guess when we're piecing it together, a lot of it's very, some of it's not super brutal.
A lot of power metal this time.
Yeah, because we've been missing it for a while.
Yeah.
So we started off with something that I heard about before, but I didn't realize was out, and you brought it to my attention. I saw you talking about it on a forum somewhere.
Yeah, the U.S. Power Metal Connection Facebook group.
Yeah.
In fact, the post was, why aren't more people talking about the Shadowkeep album?
Yeah. So I listened to it, yesterday? Twice.
Yeah.
It's a damn good album, man.
Yeah, I heard it a couple times a few days ago. It's featuring a friend of the podcast, James Rivera, on vocals.
You might have heard him do an intro just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I've known James for 20 plus years, man.
I didn't know he was in the Beyond This. So this just it went over my head, apparently. I didn't know that he had joined this band. I don't know if he's a permanent member or if he's just doing this for like helping him out because their singer left or something, but...
You know, I don't know. The last album they put out was 10 years ago, so...
Oh, well, there you go. That's probably why. Yeah, I don't know much about them. They're an English band, right?
Yeah, they're from England, UK. They've progressive power metal, which I enjoyed his vocal style on this. He was able to... You know, he's been doing a lot of stuff in Hellstar recently, you know, opening up and doing other... You know, other vocal stylings, besides like the high screams and stuff like that. But it really works on this Shadowkeep album. This the way it's that his vocals fit really well in this heavy progressive metal style.
I mean, they sort of have, because I always thought of Hellstar as more just kind of straightforward.
To a certain extent, yes and no.
These guys have a little bit more of a progressive tinge to them, but they're still heavy, and it's just a. Sometimes it's not that complex. Sometimes it's just good. It's just a good record. It's like really well written. I mean, catchy songs. He sounds great with it, and it just seems like to be a perfect fit for them. So hopefully he sticks around, you know, as their vocalist. I'm not sure what the situation with this band is. Whether they even do shows or they even tour. It doesn't seem like. It's been an ongoing priority, so.
going to Encyclopedia Metallum. So the members of the band are Chris Allen, Nikki Robson, Stoney Gransom, Omar Hayes, and James Rivera. He's been in the band since 2016. I remember him making a post or talking about it before. I just didn't know when it was coming out.
Hmm.
But you know when they tell you, when you go there and it tells you everything that they've been a part of?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, James has been in a lot of bands.
Yeah.
So he's in Hellstar, Distance Under, X Destiny's End, X Malice, X Thrasher, Vigilante, Children of the Grave, Killing Machine, New Eden, X Seven Witches. These are all X bands, too. He was in Vicious Rumors, Flotsam and Jetsam, which when he was only with them live.
Right. Yeah.
Got to see him live with that band. It was pretty awesome.
Nice, yeah.
Masters of Metal, Agent Steel, Bad Heaven, never heard of that. A lot of bands. You know, he does this, we saw him a couple weeks ago opening up for the Iron Maidens.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that show real quick. So his Children of the Sea is one of his side projects. It actually had Trevi Biles from Big Daddy's Aspern Hot Sauces that we had the goat whore that one time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's also in Venomous Maximus. But he plays bass in that band, and they did a bunch of Dio stuff. And then Iron Maidens came out. Man, it got super packed.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was just like,
I saw pictures on it on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, it's this cool little club. It's weird. It's the middle of Midtown Houston, so right on the outskirts of downtown. It's a Proof rooftop bar.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about that before.
So it's outside. You're upstairs. They actually had driven a food truck up there that night.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean it was
how
super
they do
packed.
That?
There's a ramp going from downstairs. Yeah,
oh, that's crazy.
It was fun though. It was a good show.
Yeah.
It got really crowded. I knew a lot of people there that night too.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, so
I'm amazed that band still keeps going. The Iron Maidens.
Yeah, it's fun.
They've been around. I saw them like well over a decade ago.
Oh, really?
at like the engine room or something, the numbers or something like that, like a long time ago.
That's probably when Nina Strauss was probably still in the band, right?
I have no idea who was in the band.
Yeah.
I was just like, Maiden songs, let's go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what it was. And they were doing like some obscure shit too. Yeah. Like, great. Like Bruce Chickenson's like the singer's name. I love that. It's great. But go back to James real quick. So, I mean, I've seen him perform live many fucking times. And he's done this thing called the James Rivera extravaganza or whatever he calls it. And he'll pull songs from all eras of his band that he's been in. So he'll play like Vicious Rumors. He'll play a Flotsam and Jetsam song. He'll play Hellstar. He'll play like Dio and Judas Priest and all this kind of stuff. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's just a consummate performer. He wants to be on stage.
Sounds great. Well, I think the last time I saw him was when he was with Children of the Sea, I think. Or it was at the tribute concert, I believe. It was the last time I saw him.
For Bill?
For Bill, yeah.
Yeah, that was Jane.
It was Hellstar and...
Yeah.
He did that. They had like...
Judas Sabbath.
Yeah.
Judas Sabbath. Where, of course, it's Sabbath and Judas Priest song.
That was a great performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they all did, at the very, very end of the show, they came out and did like an acoustic Wish You Were Here.
I missed that. I think we left. Yeah. Damn it.
All right. So I guess moving on to the next band.
Yeah. Speaking of power metal. So these guys,
I've never heard these guys before.
You're going to like them. They're from Tucson, but they're originally from Salt Lake City. They're a relatively new project. They only came out in 2012, and their two founding members met at a Blind Guardian show.
Oh,
Tony Cordisco, guitarist, and John Yelland on vocals. And they kind of just started the studio project thing. Their first two albums are essentially just kind of like very nicely done demos, but they're just a studio band. They never really thought they were going to make it like into a touring thing. But then the third album, they start, doing some shows, scattered shows and stuff. And now they spent like a lot of time on this album, and this is kind of becoming their, it might be too early to call it a breakthrough, but it's going to be the one that punches them into a greater level of awareness, because it's where I've came in and heard them. They're,
The Last Emperor is the name of the new album.
The Last Emperor is the new album. The U.S. power metal group's talking about them a lot. The power metal Reddit is talking about them a lot. They're being really promoted on these communities, and they just have a lot of momentum coming with this album. A lot of press. They sound like Blind Guardian at first to your ears. You're going to be like, "Oh, this is really blind," because they're obviously influenced by the band that brought them together. Funnily enough, the track we're going to play has Hanzi on vocals.
No way.
They actually reached out to him and he's like, "Oh." And so he pops in on guest vocals. John Yelland has a voice that reminds me of Hanzi's, but when they sing together, you can kind of tell the difference. They're just a little bit more different than, they're a little bit more harder edge. They're U.S. power metal, it's so they kind of move away from the kind of extravagance of the European
stuff.
More
like the Iced Earth style.
Yeah, but they had just enough influence from Europe, but they're still an American band. So it's they're just really fun.
Can you sing that song?
Sing that song.
We're an American band?
No. I don't even know the lyrics to that song. I know what song you're talking about.
That's the only lyric I know.
But yeah, I love this album so much. I've been listening to it for the past couple weeks, and I'm all about this band.
I haven't heard about it before.
I paid for it on Bandcamp the day it came out. All about it. So,
all right, well, let's get into it. This is Adjudicator?
Adjudicator.
Spiritual Treason featuring Mr. Hanzi Kirsch.
Oh, yeah.
This will be the first time we play Hanzi Kirsch on this episode.
Yeah.
So, and not playing Blind Guardian. We'll get to that, though. Here is from the album called The Last Emperor. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You were just listening to some Suspiria, a song called Come Alive from the new album, The Lyricist. Vocalist.
New vocalist, yeah.
So, you know, you're a big fan of this band.
I am a big fan of Suspiria. It was like, here's what I'm going to say. I liked this album a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing that drew me to the band the most was the previous vocalist, a guy named Athera, A-T-H-E-R-A. And he had this really unique sound to his voice. And the new album is really good, too. But the vocalist, he's still just...
Yeah.
Right. He's not much... There's not much to separate from a lot of other vocalists in the ilk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the new album's really, really good. So Suspiria play like a sort of like a more thrashy, mellow death style. You hear a little bit of Dimmu Borgir, a little bit of like Hypocrisy. That definitely European metal influence, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You can't really call them purely mellow death. There's something different about it. That's cool. It's definitely a different take on it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And this is their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is their 6th full-length album. Last album came out 2009 called Attitude. So it's been 9 years. Yeah. Wow. I was excited when I heard they have a new album. I'm like, wait a minute. The vocalist is gone. So I was definitely interested in hearing how it was going to be. And... every week on Friday, it's like my new thing on Friday. I'm like, first thing I do, I get to work and I open up Spotify and I put on the release radar. Yeah. I'm like, and they've been pimping.
Very helpful tool.
It is a very helpful tool. They've been pimping out the new Suspiria singles for a few months now. Okay. Now the full length is out and it's, like I said, I don't hate it. It's just, you know, when I'm not accepting change, I think, is what it is. After 9 years, apparently.
I get that. I mean, I don't know. You know, like, I still enjoy, say, the 2 Falconer albums they made without Matthias on vocals, but, you know, it's just not the same.
Right.
It's not the same. And so sometimes a band is just better by having a specific guy.
And we were just jamming out their cover of Aha.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, it's a good song. I always liked that song.
Actually, the way they were mixing sort of the electronic elements on that song with the riffs, it kind of reminded me of, remember that band from Finland who did that cover of In the Heat of the Night? They did all sorts of covers. I forgot what their name is. To Die For.
Oh,
they had that kind of blend of like that, those weird kind of production elements.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's a band that came out a couple years ago. They came back after being dead for like a decade.
To Die For?
Yeah. They put out an album. It was kind of shaky, but it had some good moments on there. They had the original vocalist in there and everything.
Interesting.
So I wonder what happened with Suspiria. I wonder if they like quit or had just called it a day. And then, like, maybe over, to, you know, they said, like, what the hell, come back, and that guy didn't want to.
I'm not sure. Well, the new vocalist, his name is Bernd Fjellstad. He's also in a band called Guardians of Time, which I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the thing about looking in the Encyclopedia Metallium is just you realize all the shit you don't know.
That's right.
Like, I haven't heard about this. What was this project this guy was in? Yeah. Speaking of singers.
What
did you think of that Hanzi Kirsch guest vocal on that?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Hanzi makes everything better. I want that bumper sticker.
Yeah. I debated and I thought about not choosing this track because I figured like, okay, I'm putting Hanzi on here. He's more of the star than Judicator, which is what I'm really trying to get across. So I thought about picking another song, but this song is so good. I couldn't ignore it. I have a feeling this album's going to be my best of, so maybe later on we'll go get back to this album and play a song that's like not a Hanzi song. So,
okay, I'm definitely interested in hearing more of that album. So
yeah,
I just don't know. Am I going to get bored of it at all? Because
no, I mean these guys. I read an interview with them where they were talking about how they really focused on maximizing every second of this album.
Are they still like, self-released?
It's self-released. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just super catchy all the way through. They don't really have a lot of filler. There's no, like, there's not a second wasted, I would say. Like, it really is one of those albums where I'm just like, wow, they really nailed every single thing.
Very cool. That's Judicator. The name of the album is called The Last Emperor. It's on Spotify and in streaming services like that. So you can check it out right now. Listen to the whole album.
Yeah, support these guys. They're definitely doing it like themselves the hard way.
So. Take Sean's word for it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a topic real quick.
Okay.
Want to talk about some tours?
Yes.
I'm upset about this tour a little bit.
Yeah, I know. The timing is unfortunate.
The timing for me is really fucking unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, so, with a lot of these tours coming in the same month, too, you know?
Yeah.
Morbid Angel's going to be in there in some time around.
Right, Morbid Angel's coming. Let's talk about this. The Tear, Orphanland. Who else is on this bill?
Tear, Orphanland, and...
Aeternum.
Aeternum.
And Ghost Ship Octavius.
Yeah, God, it's a perfect
bill.
That's
a fucking great lineup.
It's a perfect bill.
But they're not coming to Houston. It's an out-of-town show. And guess what weekend that is?
Not the weekend for you.
Not the weekend I can get away. I have a work engagement I cannot get away from.
Yeah, I'm gonna
actually, the engagement is my work, so...
Do you think suppose the show was in Houston that night, would you be able to make it?
Probably not.
Right, yeah.
Still even not.
Somehow, I think it maybe even is a little bit better that it's in Austin. So you're sort of like, well, it's not in town. I'm not missing them in town.
Right.
You know, it's like psychologically, it might help you out. I'm going to go to the show.
Are you going?
I've already bought my ticket. I'm not going
to
miss this.
Might have to get you to give me an Orphanland shirt.
Sure. Yeah.
If they have any drum heads to get autographed, I'll buy one.
I mean, not only am I just insanely excited to see Orphanland and to meet these guys, and I will meet them, but Ghost Ship Octavius, we've played them on the show before. I'm interested in them.
They're great.
Well, I desperately want to see them. Aeternum. Championed on this show.
We have championed Aeternum, and
they were on our best of list.
And some of the fans of the show have actually started championing them because of us.
Yeah,
so I feel good about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
Derek, he's turned a lot of people on to these guys, and he just saw them on the 70,000 ton. So they put on a great show.
Yeah.
And I've seen Tear before, and I've seen Orphanland before, but I want to see them again.
It's been a long time since I've seen Tear. It's been like close to like a decade since I've seen
Not
Tear.
Me. I saw them when they opened the Death Angel show at the House of Blues.
Oh, wow. That's
maybe like 5 years ago.
The last time I saw them was on Pagan Fest.
And there was another band, Children of Boredom. That's who it was. It was Tear, Death Angel, and Children of Boredom.
That's a good bill.
Yeah, we left early during Children of Boredom.
Yeah.
Fine, Boredom.
With Boredom, I always just have a soft spot for those older stuff of theirs. Yeah. You know? So,
and Ghost Ship Octavius, of course, features Van Williams from Nevermore.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's going to be a great show.
And if you haven't heard their first album they put out, it's a stellar fucking release. You need to check it out.
You know what I love about this show? It's not like deep in Austin. It's right on the outskirts. Like, it's not quite in that
where's
area
it
where it's called Come and Take It Live.
Okay.
It's like right near where that it's like literally down the road from where I saw Nightwish Camelot a few years ago. And it's like that part of town where it's like you can just park right there at the venue. There's like it's in a shopping center.
Oh, nice.
It's not like you have to go because
So what day is it?
It's a Friday evening.
Are you going to drive home afterwards?
Undecided. I mean, depends on how tired I am.
Dude, you're in fucking Austin. You should stay over Saturday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go have some fun.
Yeah.
That's what I would be doing for sure.
Yeah. It'll depend.
I knew. So they did a weird thing with this tour announcement. They announced the tour like 3 months ago.
Yeah. It took
and then they
forever.
Didn't. And then
it
took like a month and a half to announce the date. And I knew for some reason, I had a feeling that I wasn't going to be able to go.
I was just worried that it was going to end up on the same day as one of the other shows I'm going to go see that month, so.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. I don't know.
So, talk about this Eister show that I missed, because I made a game time decision that day to skip it.
You should have gone.
I sort of struggled with it, but I felt, like, okay missing it in the end.
You're totally wrong for missing it.
Tell me why I'm wrong. No, seriously, I wrote a thing about why I missed it.
Yeah, I actually read your article, which is located at themetalpigeon.com.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding.
All right, so Iced Earth was touring with Sanctuary. When Worrell passed away, it was undecided what was going to happen at first. So Sanctuary decided they were going to carry on in tribute to Worrell, and they brought on the vocalist from Witherfall, a guy named Joseph Michael. And he has the same style of range as Worrell. Not quite Worrell, because you never can replace that, but right. he's pretty damn good. Like a week before the show, I got an email saying that the show had been moved from the big ballroom into the tiny peacock room or whatever the fuck it was.
Bronze peacock room.
Yeah.
The House of Blues, yeah.
So apparently the House of Blues here in Houston, there's like two or three venues. There's the big venue and there's a couple smaller ones. Well, this smaller venue is maybe a couple hundred people.
I think capacity is 150 or something.
Wow. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
But we decided to go anyway. We bought tickets already. It's not like I was on the guest list or something. We would know, you know, it'd be okay if we missed it. We bought the tickets. So we're like, we're going. And we didn't want to miss the sanctuary thing, right?
Right.
Small ass club. Really small.
Is it like next to the restaurant downstairs?
No, it's upstairs.
Okay.
It's just, it's past the where the elevator is there. So it's on the opposite side of that.
Okay.
I'm glad we did not miss a show because it was the most intimate show for a band that I freaking love that I've ever seen. We found a good spot off to the right hand side of the stage up against the wall, and we had a great viewing area. It was very comfortable. We weren't overcrowded by anybody. So when Sanctuary came out, it was a very emotional set. Number one, the whole Worrell, you know, the tribute to Worrell, we were feeling the emotion there, but
right.
The singer, like an hour before he took the stage, found out his uncle died.
Oh, wow.
And the emotion in that set was fucking amazing, man.
Yeah.
They played old stuff. They played new stuff. And it was just an amazing show. And then a little while later, Eisters comes out.
Uh-huh.
Same small little club.
Right.
Holy crap. This was an intimate show. And they performed just like they were playing for 10,000 people. You know what I mean?
A lot of moshing?
There was a little bit of moshing in there. There wasn't a lot, but a little bit. It was just a great show. And it happened to be John Schaefer's birthday.
Yeah.
And they did this whole thing at the end where they brought some kids up on stage and to sing Watching Over You, I'm sorry, which turned into the whole another emotional thing. And it was a damn good show. I wish you were there.
I'm genuinely glad it was a good show for you, because you're a big Sanctuary fan and you guys were going there half reason for that.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, my wife is a
huge Worrell Dane
right.
Yeah.
Fangirl.
Yeah. Why do you think only 100-something people showed up?
I don't know.
Because you were there in 2004 when they had a freaking 1,000 people show up to the engine room.
Yeah.
And you were there when they were playing with Symphony X. And they had – that place was packed out. They played the same venue, House of Blues, the big room, and there was a shit ton of people there.
You know, we've talked about this before on the show, and it could possibly be the co-headliner.
See, and you read my article, and that's my theory, and the article is that
– But I don't know if I agree with that.
But I can't think of anything else, because, you know, okay, in 2004, there's the fact they haven't been here in a while.
Right.
They're coming in with – Children of Bodom have just blown up in America, and it's – Iced Earth is with their – biggest album to date at that point. So that drew a lot of people, and it was just a different time, maybe 2004. A couple of years ago, we saw them at Scout Bar with Sabaton. That show was packed.
Yeah.
Revamp, Sabaton, Iced Earth.
Right, I remember
it was very crowded, that show. And I just think, like, it hasn't been that many years. That album wasn't that well received, Plague of Babylon. And they had a bigger draw here in town for that one than they did this night. And is it just because there's too many shows happening? Is it people like me and a couple guys I know who didn't go because they're like, I'm already going to too many shows. I spent too much money on tickets.
I don't know.
That's what I think it is.
I think this might have been a fluke.
Maybe. I hope so.
I hope so. I don't think this is a trend for the band or anything like that, because, I mean, the new album's really good.
I mean, I do have a couple people I know who said that, you know, if they were touring with someone else and it was like a nice little package, I would have been there. Because if it was a can't miss package, can't miss.
Okay,
bill,
let me be the morbid one.
I know that for you, it was a can't miss bill.
Let me be the morbid one here.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been the same if Worrell hadn't died and he was on this tour?
I don't think that Sanctuary has that much drawing power just yet. I think they were building towards it. I don't think they have. If it was Nevermore, I think it would have been decked.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that Sanctuary had that kind of power.
And I've heard maybe rumors that they're going to keep on keeping on with this new guy.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold it against him or anything.
No. I mean, you can't. They were
just as much a part of the band as he was.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed for the fact that power metal took a hit, and I didn't go, and I'm a, you know, big fan of Iced Earth.
You're part of the fucking problem then.
But I made a decision. I was like, I bought like 6 concert tickets already.
You know, it's weird. Like, excuse me if I cough too much. I've just been getting over being sick. I wanted to buy an Iced Earth t-shirt at the end. So before they even took the stage, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go buy my shirt. I get over there, they're sold out. They're sold out of like all large and extra large.
Wow.
So I wound up buying a pin, like a 30-year anniversary pin. I wanted to get that 30-year anniversary shirt.
Right.
Which was cool. But we did get a Worrell Dane tribute shirt.
That's cool.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So.
I hope they come back.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I mean, because, you know, these things hurt with promoters, so.
Yeah. You know who is coming soon?
And they're doing it right.
This next band.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming. Camelot's coming here with Delane, who would draw a freaking huge amount of people.
I still can't
get
into that band.
I know, but they have. Every time you go to a Delane show here where they're touring with someone, they always tour at the package.
I saw them open up for Hammerfall last year.
I think Hammerfall open up for them? Or no, right. It was the other way around. They, half the audience wore Delane shirts. That band draws people. So Camelot, Delane, Battle Beast. Battle Beast had that momentum coming here with Sabaton a couple years ago.
Can't get into that band either.
But I know that show's going to be super packed because not only Camelot draws, but you have the smarts of bringing Delane along. It's going to bring that type of fan out. So the new album, however, is not. It's been the most divisive album they've released.
It's polarizing, isn't it?
And you know why it's polarizing? I think because a lot of people feel like it's kind of treading water, and this is not a band that's ever really done that.
So I've only listened to 2 tracks on that release radar thing, like we were talking about earlier. I was bored. I could not get into it. I tried. I'm like, oh, I like Camelot. This is not good.
Yeah, I mean,
I have not
heard the entire record.
I have not heard the entire album, so I can't really say completely that I hate it.
Yeah,
I need to give it a full shot before I can say something. But
I just put up a review for this one, and it basically there's some really nice high points on this album, but then there's a lot of stuff where you're just sort of like, nothing's really working for me here with this song. A lot of riffs seem a little recycled, and then just. Nothing. There's some songs where it just doesn't quite gel, and I'm starting to wonder. And I have a couple of theories I throw out in the review if you really want to get into it. But basically, my gist is that I don't think this band is a band that's really meant to be a darker type of band in tone. And the entire concept behind this album, it's not really a concept album, but the theme is Carl Jung philosophy about how every one of us have like a shadow inside, like it's the part that, you know, the kind of thing that makes soldiers able to commit acts of atrocity or whatever. And so it's all about that psychological thing. And I don't think this is a band that really operates well when they have to force themselves to be dark and, you know, darker in tone musically. Yeah. I think this is a band that operates on major key melodies. And when they minimize that, it really impacts the way there's, you know, their songwriting, and it's just not as good.
So let's get into it.
I will say I like this song though. Phantom Divine is the video song. It's okay. good video actually too.
Well, I don't know if I've heard this one. Is that one of the singles from before?
This is like the new single, okay. I think.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to it with you when you guys are listening to it. This is from the new album called The Shadow Siri. This is Camelot. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
And we are back, everyone. We just had a two-song set. We ended that song or that set with a band called Hanging Garden from Finland. Can you believe that I picked another Finnish band to play? What the hell, man? So the song we picked that we played is called November Dawn. It's a brand new single that came out March or April, something like that.
Okay.
So it's just one track right now. They put an album out in 2017 called I Am Become. And I discovered this band again through Spotify. I think it was Ocean of Grief. I just picked a radio playset, based on that band.
Yeah,
that's and they popped up one time, and there's that song I just played for you after we heard this.
Right.
And I was like, this fucking sounds like Posse from Amorphis from that Tuonela era. And it does. It really, really does. They're, like you said, they're depressive, that depressive undertone to it.
Yeah.
But sort of Omnium Gathering, Amorphis.
Had that weird way of like having that melancholy in the guitar.
There's a lot of 80s influence into that band too.
Yeah.
With some of the guitar riffs and the melodies in the background.
Yeah, it sounded good. Like a band I've never even heard of before.
Yeah, I know, right?
I should have.
I really like these guys. They have what
So this isn't a single from the last album?
It's a brand new song, yeah.
They're just going straight for another one, I guess, here?
Yep, apparently.
Wow.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full-length albums.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, members. The vocalist is a guy named Tony Toivonen. So, it's not Posse, if you were wondering.
That name sounds familiar, but then all these Finnish names start sounding like, uh-huh. So...
He used to be in a band called Second Suicide, Raku, and Amarantine. So,
Amarantine?
Yeah, not Amarant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, go check them out. The new song is called November Dawn. You can buy it on their Bandcamp. You can stream it on all the streaming services and all that kind of stuff. Speaking of streaming... are no longer going to be able to. What do you think about this whole iTunes thing? Not going to be selling downloads anymore.
So is there like an official announcement about that? Because I've been saying that for years.
No, it's happening. Like, I don't remember. I don't know when, next year or two.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I know a person who buys almost every single thing they buy music was from iTunes, so.
Yeah.
I guess everyone's going to be getting Spotify subscriptions soon and doing that. I don't know. I mean... I think it sucks, honestly. I think it's like, I understand this is the first year where physical sales are eclipsing digital downloads. There was a couple articles about that came out last month. They made it a big deal. To me, I just feel like, what's the big deal about offering digital downloads? Is it a space issue? Because you have to use the same space for freaking streaming.
Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't think that it'd be like a issue of, well, it costs a lot to house these things. It's like, what do you mean it costs a lot to house these things?
I'm going
to
stick the same way I do. I don't really buy digital downloads unless it's like, a special one-off song or something like that, which I have done.
So that's kind of how I've been buying most of my music lately is digital downloads.
Yeah.
In lieu of, you know, we've had the physical product thing debate here all the time. And
but maybe it's just the whole iTunes proprietary thing. You're buying a lot of stuff from like Bandcamp and things like that.
Yeah.
So you're buying mostly direct from the bands.
So I guess that's the underlying thing here is like if the record labels or the bands can just be like, okay, so if iTunes is not going to do it, we'll just do it ourselves and offer it ourselves.
Yeah.
Then we can just go straight to the source and support the band directly and fuck iTunes, you know?
So when do you think Spotify is going to start offering downloads? I mean, you can download playlists and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, if you subscribe, can't you download most of that stuff offline?
You can, but I don't think you...
You don't own it, though.
Well, yeah, and you can't if you let your subscription...
lapse, yeah.
Just like on PlayStation. So if you buy the PlayStation membership for the year, the PlayStation Plus...
Right.
And you get free games every month, but if you let your membership lapse...
You don't have access to those games.
You can't play any of the games you've ever downloaded for free.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They should probably do something like that, because that would keep their subscription rate up. Okay, fine, I like this album, I'm going to download this album, and I can burn it to a CD from here, because not everybody's going to have Spotify in their car.
I mean, boys, that what are you downloading? Are you actually downloading MP3 files, and then you can transfer those to iTunes and just permanently have a copy in your computer?
As long as you keep your subscription to Spotify going,
how would they track
I
that?
I don't know. I'm not,
because if you're downloading files, you can do anything you want to.
Well, yes, dude, that's what they got to figure out. This is just. Brainstorming.
You know, that'd be like that old copy protection crap they had in CDs back in the day.
Yeah.
And people figured out how to hack it in two seconds. So,
or do you remember getting promos back in the day where you listen to the album and then, like, a minute into the song?
Oh, yeah.
You are listening to the new Typo Negative.
Nuclear Blast is notorious.
They did
that
shit all the time. Like,
screw
really, dude?
Screw you.
They gave you, like, the first two songs was none of that shit. And then, yeah the rest of it was, like, all.
Audio watermarks are the worst. Yeah.
I don't remember some. It might have been a Nevermore album. We were so used to hearing that at one point. When we didn't hear it, it sounded awkward.
Yeah,
you're like, what happened to the you were listening to Nevermore? It was this Godless Endeavor, I think it was. I don't know why I remember that, but
just useless promos.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Yeah, I think it's a bummer. All these things are changing. Like, you've heard about Guitar Center bankruptcy.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about on the last Metal Geeks, we talked about the Toys R Us bankruptcy.
Right.
We went into a Toys R Us last week, I think, and it's so sad.
Yeah, I didn't go.
They're still around for a little while. They got a lot of shit to sell out.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, it's like, oh, let's look at the Lego sets, because Legos are always so expensive.
Right.
If I can get a discount on that, it was like 5% off Legos. I'm like, what the fuck?
5%, yeah.
It's like, I went in there, I'm like, I need Xbox Live. Nope, we don't have that. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the games are, you know, video games and toys and like that. I think it's like 10% off or 15. I don't know. It's not much yet. So, like, some stuff in the store is like 30.
Okay.
But the stuff that I would want to get is like 10%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess they're trying to pay off their
Well, they got to.
Yeah.
But so what's this Guitar Center thing? I mean.
So apparently this is happening. It's a Guitar Center bankruptcy. I'm not sure if all the stores are going to be closing, but it looks like it's on the verge of heading that way, where they're going to be shuttering all these stores because they are just like they said $1 billion in debt. I mean,
wow.
I mean, and Gibson, you've heard about the recent, they've had problems, like Gibson Guitars is on the verge of teetering into ruin. Gibson, you know, and if Gibson Guitars goes, what chances does Guitar Center have?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I start to wonder, like, what are bands going to do when they roll into town? They need to get resupplied. Some towns just don't have guitar stores. Are there independent guitar stores around? Or
a little bit, not really.
Yeah, I mean, where are you going to go to get shit? You know, like, I don't know. It's just another one of those things that's just kind of like dying because of reasons. I guess it's not like guitars are going away, but they said that total guitar sales last year was only 1 million. They only sold 1 million, the industry.
Wow.
Like, okay, I get it. People have guitars. They don't need to buy new ones all the time.
Right, yeah.
It's not really an industry where I think it'd be, like, fast moving. But
supplies. I mean,
there's a lot of people out there. Why aren't there, you know, 1 million guitars, really?
Well, Guitar Center maybe needs to rethink. I mean, I don't know what they can do. I mean, where are people going to go in? Where are people going
to
go?
To try
an instrument and pick out a guitar and play Freebird in front of people.
Well, I mean, more than that, like, where are you going to go to try something before you plunk down a couple $1,000?
Yeah. I'm really interested in this drum set or this cymbal or this guitar, whatever.
This is something where you really have to be there. It's kind of like going to buy a car. You're not just.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to order a car online without trying it out. Right, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
This is something you need a physical store to get hands on with stuff,
and I wonder if it's just they had like too big of places, you know, the physical rents were too high or something. Or,
yeah, locations might be too big, maybe too many.
Yeah, definitely too many.
Because I remember Guitar Center used to be there's only like one or two in Houston,
right?
You'd have to, it was like you have to drive there to get. Oh, let's go to Guitar Center and check it out.
Yeah,
it was a place to go to, it was a thing to do. Now it's like, oh, there's one over here. I mean, maybe just too many of them.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. But you know what's not a bummer?
What's that?
Primordial?
Yeah, new Primordial album. So have you checked this out yet?
I have. It's really, really good. I know Dauber from Oceans of Slumber had just gone to England. And he was playing shows with Epica. They had that, it was like a female front. They were doing like their anniversary shows.
Right, yeah.
So it was like Epica and Mirkur and Lacuna Coil was on some of the shows, yeah. And then Ocean of the Slumber. And Dauber posted from seeing at a show one night, seeing Primordial. I'm like, oh, you fucker.
Yeah. This is a band I've always had sort of a weird sort of like where I'm really into them when their albums come out. And then after a while, I just kind of stop listening to it, even though I really do like the album. Their last one in 2014, that was a top 10 album for me that year. Names escape. We're Greater Men, something, something. But I like this album a lot. I don't like it as much as the last one. Overall, just I think there's a lot of like lulls in this one. The song I want to play is this one called Stolen Years. It's kind of one of the more mellow songs. It starts off mellow, kind of ends, you know, very epic. But I really like this band when they do sort of they seem to have gone away from the kind of Celtic stuff they did earlier in their career. And I kind of like them when they return to that in brief moments, but I wish they'd go full in on it. So sometimes this album was a little bit too meandering for me, but I do like a couple songs a lot on it, and this is one of them. This might be the best one on the album. He's such a good vocalist.
Yes, agreed.
Alan Averill, he goes by so many different names, but that's his real name. And he has this blog, actually, on WordPress, and really? He's an interesting guy. He worked for Metal Blade for a while. I'm not sure if he's still doing work for Metal Blade. But he has a couple of different bands in. He's in. This is obviously the biggest. But he's a great writer. I think that's his educational background too. And if you want to read stuff by him, he has a WordPress blog.
His name is A.A. Nemsianga.
That's that's like a stage name though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a stage name. Yeah. His real name is Alan. You said Alan Averill.
Yeah.
So it's A.A. right there.
Yeah. Really interesting writer. Controversial opinions, but a great writer. Go check out his blog.
Yeah, remember the Gathering Wilderness?
Love that album. Good album. Yeah. To the Nameless Dead was just as good. I think that was the one right after that.
I know I've listened to it. I don't remember it quite as much, though.
The Gathering Wilderness was that was a career defining album for them.
Yeah,
and totally that's what I'm talking about.
It was like their breakout.
That was like 06, 05 or something around 05, that time. Yeah. And that had that sort of, it had a
that's back in Hot 5.
That Celtic sound infused with it. I love that, yeah.
So let's get into the new Primordial. This is from, the album is called Exile Amongst the Ruins. I don't know why I said it was a question at the end, but the song is called Stolen Years. Because what happens when you have stolen years?
Wasted years.
That's exactly right. Right on there. All right, so let's check out Primordial. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. gaze my breathe a little less a little less of the we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
We're going to talk about this next one, which is
the previous one?
Yeah, which is one of the biggest productions, I guess.
Sure.
In live music for this genre that I've ever seen. So we were watching Blu-ray before we did the recording.
Yes.
So I'm impressed. I'll say that.
Good.
I was
finally got you into them.
I was impressed with not only just the production of it, but the musicianship and the fact that it was recorded really well.
Let the good people know what you're talking about.
Okay, it was the Arion Universe.
That's right.
The live show. This is the audio version of the show, which is also a Blu-ray. Right?
You're overcomplicating it, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, it's Arion Universe. It's the live production of the best of Arion, and I pre-ordered, which is sitting right in front of me. It's like this.
Looks like a vinyl,
and I have a book bag too.
Oh,
a tote. It came with a tote.
That's nice.
An Arion tote. It's signed by Arion on the front. Apparently, it's not Arjun. It's Arion.
Sure.
So. I ordered the limited edition version of it. There's only 500 of these made. It wasn't too expensive. I mean, it was like $60 for it.
Right.
With shipping.
That's actually reasonable.
That's not bad. So it came with the CD. It comes with the DVDs and the Blu-ray. So, but it's in this beautiful oversized book. It's almost the size, the dimensions of a vinyl.
Yeah. It looks like a vinyl release.
But it's a book.
Right.
It's you know, it's really beautiful. And it's one of my favorite things that I own basically probably now. It's a really, really cool thing. When it came in, I did not expect it to be this big.
Yeah.
Cause I'm used to like some of the, Arion is one of those bands. I have all the collector editions that I can get. It's one of those things that I collect. And when I saw this went live, I was like, I have to get this autographed and everything. But I was afraid because the last album, when The Source came out last year, I pre-ordered an autographed version, and it took months to get it. There was some kind of problem. I was afraid that was going to happen, but nope. Came on time. Great set list if you're a fan of the band. It ranges from every single album, even a couple of Star One tracks and things like that. I wish they would have maybe done a couple of like solo tracks or some of the other side projects like Guilt Machine or something, but it's a really solid
celebration of a career.
It really is. It's a beautiful package. We watched the Blu-ray before we recorded tonight, and yeah, it's just, if you saw the Theater Equation that came out 2 years ago or something, which was horrific.
Ultra quick edits and stuff.
It was just bad edits. They were like, they didn't have enough coverage, so they had to use footage where the camera was moving. It was just really overall bad.
Yeah.
I think he learned his lesson and hired a good company to do this. So I cannot recommend this enough. If you are just a fan of the artist, if you're a fan of Arion or Arion himself, check it out. You don't have to buy the Blu-ray, whatever. I would recommend it because it is a visual medium that is best experienced.
Yeah, as we were saying before we were watching the Blu-ray, it's like, if you're a fan of this guy, you better be buying his stuff, supporting him, because he doesn't tour.
No.
This is it. If you don't buy his stuff, he can't make any more, so keep supporting him.
Yeah, I definitely do.
I'm a hardcore fan. He's got the best edition of it. He's got the tote bag.
That's right.
He shelled out for it.
I can put the tote bag is big enough to actually carry this.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. I'm like, do I really need a tote bag? I'm like, I should cut that and make it into a patch for a jacket, like a big back patch.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. In fact, because it has that kind of nice old school metal look to it. It's not fancied up or anything.
Exactly. It's just white on black.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So the song, let's talk about the song we played. We were watching, we're like, okay, what song do we want to play? We went with Age of Shadows. Which this is the second appearance of Hanzi in this episode. I'll let you talk about it for a minute. I want to get your opinion.
I really do like his tracks on there. Even on the stuff on the Source, I thought he like fits in really well. I mean, he just makes anything sound better, as we could tell with Judicator earlier in the show.
Right.
I think it's the first time I've, because wasn't this the one where he was doing the duet with, there was another song he was doing a duet with, Floor, right?
Yes.
And it's just weird to hear him in different situations with vocalists you don't expect to hear. The only thing you've ever, come close to in the past was like him on a Therion album and stuff. So it's just cool to hear him like that. And watching the Blu-ray just overall, I just got that nice, you get that weird mix of all these unexpected sounds, and I get why people like Arion so much. I get why he has the fan base he does. Sometimes, like with the last album, it doesn't work for me, but I get it. I do get why the appeal is there.
So the song, the song that we played is Age of Shadows. It's from the, originally from the 2008 album, 01011001.
What is that supposed to say?
I don't know. It's binary for something. I don't, it's a good question. I don't know. It's so the whole thing about Arion, of course, is its whole computer in the future. There's like this computer software that was created that can send memories back in time. So that's how this whole thing starts, where it's a computer program that's sort of sentient, that sends stuff back in time. So that's the character Arion.
So it's Facebook memories is what you're talking about.
Yes, Facebook memories. It sends, that's why there's all these, songs about the druids and sings about ancient England and all this kind of stuff. And that's the Source, the album that just came out last year, it's sort of like the prequel of how all this started. It's a long, convoluted story. Even the human Equation, which is ultimately a song about, or an album about, a guy getting into a car accident and then having all these things going on in his mind with his different emotions and people around him, is tied into the whole concept. Because at the very, very end of that album, it's just a program in the whole thing. So it's all sought out and all very well done. And my only complaint, if there was a complaint about this, it's sort of mixed up.
Like a best of track
list. It is a best of track list. And the songs are definitely cut down for time. Like Age of Shadows that we play here, it's only, 4 minutes and 50 seconds?
Yeah.
The original version is 11 minutes.
I guess you just, beggars can't be choosers when it comes to this.
And during there's a beautiful making of this whole project on the Blu-ray. And he does say that. He's like, yeah, we had to cut a lot of stuff down. And they didn't choose just the most powerful, heaviest song. They wanted juxtapositions and a lot of ballads and a lot of cool stuff. Yeah. Like the Valley of the Queen.
The diversity is widely apparent on this.
Right. So the Valley of the Queen, which I think is great, has Annika Van Giersbergen, Floor Johnson, and Maria Bovelo.
Mm-hmm.
Bovelo, however you say her last name.
Yeah.
Harmonizing together on that track. It's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm fanboying out here. I guess you should stop me.
No, go ahead. I mean, I just thought like the production quality was great. I mean, the Blu-ray is actually worth buying.
Yes,
it was well edited, like extremely edited. Yeah,
it was definitely not edited by Steve Harris from Iron Maiden.
No, yeah,
no offense to Steve, but he a lot of quick cuts.
I mean, you know, they really made up for that with that In Vivo release a couple years.
They
later.
Did.
That was
perfect.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean. I don't remember which video it was, what DVD it was, but it was just like...
Rock and Rio.
Was it Rock and Rio?
Which I will always have a soft spot for that because that show is so intense because Bruce is coming back. They're in Brazil.
You know, I found that on vinyl at Target one day.
And, wow.
I was in the clearance section.
It's a terrific live album.
No, it's a great live album. The video is not good, but I was in Target one day and I was like, why is there an Iron Maiden vinyl here? And it was like one of those returns, an online return to the store. So they put it in the clearance section.
Wow, nice.
I was like, psh, yeah, I'm getting that.
Yeah.
But check out the Arion Universe Best of Arion Live. If you have any inkling, you can listen to it on Spotify and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, really good stuff.
Speaking of British metal.
Are we there yet?
Oh, we should probably...
There's one band I want to talk about real quick.
Yeah.
Which I haven't really heard anything about them yet, but it's a new celebrity side project, famous people. Imanolis. Have you heard about these guys?
No. Imanolis?
Imanolis.
Huh.
So basically, take half of the Devin Townsend Project and half a Strapping Young Lad and throw in the singer John Howard from, I can't think of the name of the band now. What's the name of his band? It's a band I don't like. Threat Signal.
Oh, okay.
So this band features Brian Waldell guitars from Devin Townsend Project, Ryan Van Poteroyen, I can never really say his name, from Devin Townsend Project, and then Byron Stroud and Jed Simon from Strapping Young Lad, and this new vocal, John Howard, the vocalist, which I don't know if I'm a fan of the vocal style for this. I guess I'm anticipating a Devin sound, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's more of a screaming guy.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm definitely, definitely interested in it.
All right.
Yeah, it's called Imanolis.
They put out anything yet?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
They have a couple of behind the scenes. They're working on the album. Like here's like a drum track or you know that kind of stuff. But
on the radar, basically.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. And Ryan was really cool. I met him. We had the VIP for the Devin Townsend Project 2 years ago, 2016.
Yeah.
He was a really nice guy. Yeah. He was really went on top to all the fans and took a picture with him and everything. He was one of my favorite drummers right now, truthfully. Yeah. So. Moving on to British.
Yes.
British Steel. I get to see these guys next weekend.
Because this album came out in the space between our last episode and now. We didn't really talk about them that much. We talked about it briefly on the last episode. But now everyone's heard this album and everything. I mean, we've all digested it. So we're going to play Guardians and Rising from Ruins. We're pairing them together because, of course, they are meant to be paired together. And you've heard this album by now.
Oh, yeah.
Think,
just many, overall, many times.
Like,
it's a great fucking album.
It is great.
I'm not shy about it. I did not really like the last album.
Right.
It was just, it felt very subpar to me. And when there's good stuff on it, it just wasn't Judas Priest like I wanted it to be. This is Judas fucking Priest.
They nailed everything. They nailed the artwork. They nailed just the sound, the production, with a perfect mix of like old producer and new producer. The songwriting is amazing. This is one.
It's a combination. You're right. It's a combination. Even the songwriting, the songs are a combination of old stuff,
old and new.
Newer stuff. And then, like, you hear Painkiller on this album.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's brilliant.
I mean, because this you listen to this and you can't help but think of like Hellion, Electric Eye.
Yeah,
like that type of pairing.
It's classic. It's classic.
I first heard this album the day I was driving to do the last episode. I was driving here to do the last episode. When this came on, I couldn't stop grinning because just that piano guitar surge buildup. Yeah. I mean, that's just like a fanboy moment, basically. Instant fanboy moment.
So Firepower is the name of the new album. We are definitely going to – we're ending this episode on a high note. I guess we're going to table our Metal Sucks conversation until the next time, if you want to.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's going to be like 5,000 more things to talk about in regards to that next time.
So I guess let's wrap it up. Let's thank everybody for tuning in to episode number 206 of the MSR Cast Metal Podcast. Let's talk about social media and all that good stuff. First of all, go to iTunes, subscribe there, search for MSR Cast or Metal Geeks. You can find both of our shows there. It's one feed. It's our sister show. We really want you guys to help. You know, get the word out, subscribe, leave a message, you know, leave a review, give us a 5-star if you like us, and we know you do. It does help, you know, get the word out about the show. And I've been doing the show for 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long damn time.
Oh, I want to shout out some friends, digital friends real quick. These guys do a power metal podcast, exclusively power metal.
Oh, really?
The podcast is called Powerful.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're kind of starting out, but everyone go check them out too. Go help them and subscribe to them. They're on iTunes and stuff. Really good show. Really good. They're from the power metal subreddit. They're just good people. If you need an inside source for power metal, that subreddit is the place to be. So,
very cool.
Yeah,
I need more power metal in my life. And I do want to give. I want to give a quick shout out, real quickly too. A new fan, Kevin, reached out to me through Facebook the other day, and we had a cool conversation. So, thanks for finding the show. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you
keep
it.
Welcome on board.
Welcome on board, man. I hope you keep it metal. Speaking of keeping it metal, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and go to Instagram, all at MSRcast, as well as at Metal Geeks. And I want to give a big shout out again to Brian Hogan, our buddy who helps run some of that stuff for us and keeps the metal flowing and the articles going and all that good stuff, because, you know, it's hard to do, man. Yeah. I appreciate his help a lot. And if you want to send us an email, if you have a request or any of that good stuff, msrcast@gmail.com.
And I'm at Metal Pigeon, the Metal Pigeon at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook is kind of giving me problems. It's just
we're not going there right now. we'll skip that.
I'll save my complaints for Twitter.
There you go. Also, you can find Sean's writings and his stuff on themetalpigeon.com. I always recommend going to check out his writing, because you're a fucking smart guy.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think I get more things wrong than right.
No, well, you're a very eloquent writer, and it's fun to read your opinions.
Yeah, hey, if you have an opinion on the new Camelot, which everyone does apparently, come comment on my review, because there's a discussion going on there about a lot of stuff.
Where is that at?
And the metalpigeon.com, okay. The new review for the Camelot album. Yeah.
Very good. So you went ready to end this episode?
Yes.
You ready to fire it up?
Oh, yeah.
You ready to fire power it up?
Let's do it.
All right, so here's some Judas Priest to end this episode, and as always,
keep it metal.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.